I'd like to introduce our guests this morning, very special guests. Many of you will know Nick in Georgia. My experience in New Zealand, you know, we moved here almost 10 years ago, and one of the first people that we met is this gentleman by the name of Nick. And he actually came and worked with us, Shoreline, in those early days when we got here. He was our youth leader for a time until the Lord moved somebody else into that role. And it's been such a blessing. Him and Georgia, his wife, connected at Shoreline. Now, they knew each other from Bible college, but they sort of reconnected and they kindled a relationship that led to three kids. Right, and marriage. Marriage first. That's an important qualifier there. And then the Lord has moved them to minister in Central Asia. And they've been there now for like a year and a half or something. And they just came back and they've had their third child, Elijah, and they are here with us. It's one of the ministries, one of the missionary ministries that we support. And we're just happy to have you here this morning. We love you guys and we're just so thankful. So George is just going to share an update about their life, and then Nick's going to come and share with us. Hey, would you just come up here, both of you? Is that okay? How's your son? Somewhere? Okay. He's somewhere. Can I just pray for you before we start? And Father, we're so thankful to have the Oost Hosens, is that right? Something like that. Nick and Georgia, I'm good here with us today. And Father, we just want to pray that you'd bless them. And God, that you'd use them, that you'd just calm their hearts and their minds, Lord, as they share with us everything that you're doing in their lives. I pray, Lord, that as you would bless Nick as he brings your word today. And Lord, that you would just be glorified through their testimonies of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'm Nick. It's an honor to be with you this morning. I used to attend Shoreline. This is my first time in this building, so it's nice to see, you know, what God has done and his timing, and he's so faithful, isn't he? And it's just such a joy to rejoice with you and being part of that process years back. We were praying for a building. So just, yeah, such a blessing. Is my slide up? Okay, today is Pentecost Sunday in the Western world. In Israel, I think it was from Thursday till Saturday. But I've been, a month ago, I shared a message about just our need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit. And that's been something that's been on my heart, a journey that I've been on, and just been realizing and more where we are. And so I've been kind of contemplating if I should share that same message again. And then since it landed right on Pentecost Sunday, I just really felt led to do it, but to tweak it, to share that suited for this context and for today. So Acts chapter 2. But before we turn to Acts chapter 2, I've been on a journey with the Holy Spirit and just sort of realize that we need to be empowered with the Holy Spirit, especially being in a context where people have a really high spiritual worldview. And we've been going to this expat fellowship where people believe that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today. And it was nice to sort of be in that context of having fellowship with other believers where there's not other, you know, like not many other churches. So we're, you know, stoked for that. But at the same time, really felt that it was something that missing in a sense. Where there's one guy, he's been in that sort of city for 10 years, and he's translating material into the local language. And and this local believer asked him about the gifts of the Spirit, and he told him it's not for today. And kind of, just really kind of torn about that sort of statement, where just the in workers who have most sort of hands-on, most sort of influence, they believe that these things are not for the day. And I'm, you know, just stoked that there are people here investing in local believers. But at the same time, I'm kind of saddened and grieved. So I personally have a heart for balance, and not to sort of run away with things, but to be grounded in the scriptures and be open to what the scriptures say. So this is really, you know, where I'm coming from. And like, you know, and when I shared a month ago, this one guy came up to me who's been in like in this Bible teaching church for a while, and he said like tongues is to preach the gospel to people in other languages. And it just really made me sort of see that there are people in Bible teaching churches who's got some interesting ideas. So my heart to really be, you know, an encouragement for you guys. I know that you guys teach the word here. You guys are open to the Spirit. I've benefited and I've been to this church. I really love the whole dynamics here. And my heart is just to encourage you even further into all that God has for you. If there's anything I say that you don't agree with or that, you know, that you don't see in the Bible, I'm okay with that. You know, and Doug is more than able to clean up. But I'm going to try my very best, and I don't think I'm going to say anything that's foreign and that's not Calvary Chapel sort of view. So Acts chapter 2, if you would turn there. Yeah. Father, we just lift up this time to you, Lord, and we just pray that you would pour out your Spirit, and we pray there wouldn't be any confusion, but it would be just clarity, and that people would hear things that they already know, but we just pray for a real challenging of your Spirit, not of me, but of your Spirit, of just to really walk in all that you have for this body here. We just pray that you would illuminate Scripture, that you would honor your Son, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and you have your way in this morning, has been prayed already. In Jesus' name, amen. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as of fire, you know, just appeared to them, and rested on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is the Feast of Pentecost, Feast of Weeks, and I can't really go into much of the feast because I've got not much time. But this is a time, one of the pilgrimage feasts, where people would go up to Jerusalem, and Jerusalem would have been packed full of people. And this is the birth of the church, Jew and Gentile coming one in Christ, where the Spirit is being poured out on all flesh. You know, no longer in the Old Testament where just selected people had the Spirit, prophet, king, and priest, you know, for selected purposes. But now the Spirit is for every believer. As Peter says later in Acts 2, the promise is for you and for your children and for all those who are afar off and for everyone whom the Lord God will call. Amen. And so now the Spirit is given to the church. This is the age of the Spirit. And so just to get the context a little bit, so in the beginning of the book of Acts, Jesus, he appeared to people after his resurrection of a 40-day period. And he, in many, just very proofs, very convincing proofs. And he spoke to them about the kingdom of God. And then he told them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, for the promise of the Father, because they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Just as John baptized in water, so they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then I asked about Israel, which I personally don't think it was a silly question. A lot of people make it out as a silly question they ask, but if you look at an Old Testament where the Spirit was given, it was quite often, you connect with the restoration of Israel. So it might have been just a natural question. And so they said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you to be witnesses to me. You know, witnesses of Jesus Christ, of his resurrection. And so now for 10 days they were waiting. I'm not sure if they had the Feast of Pentecost in mind, but for 10 days they were waiting. And they were together, you know, together, and they were praying, and they replaced Judas. And so here they come now, and the day of Pentecost has arrived. What's interesting to me is that there's different phrases where I just mentioned Acts chapter 1, where Jesus said, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit, or you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And when this actually happens, if you go to the next slide, yeah, let's get onto it. In Acts chapter 2, when this actually happened, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Different phrases seems to be referring to the same experience here. And different sort of phrases yet, if you go through the book of Acts, where the Holy Spirit was poured out, received, fell upon them, and different things. And I think the issue comes with someone just highlight one phrase and make it their thing, especially the baptism of the Holy Spirit. People like to just grab that and hang on with that and just emphasize that so much that I think it's, you know, it's unhelpful sometimes, and it can really put people off. So if we go to the next one, next slide, please, Ethan. So this is something that I think Chuck Smith made famous. I'm not sure if he coined it, but I feel like this is really helpful, this para in epi. The Spirit is with the unbelievers. He convinces them for their need for Christ. He convicts them of sin. He points them to Christ. And when someone, turns to Jesus Christ and they're born again, the Spirit comes and indwells them. And they have the Spirit, not 30% of the Spirit, or 60% of the Spirit. They have the Spirit in its fullness dwelling in their hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. But yet, there's this upon experience. I don't sort of at all want to say there's these Christians who've just been indwelled and these Christians who's had the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I think it's unhelpful to sort of maybe make the distinction too much. If someone is a born-again believer, there's no second-class Christians. But maybe it's helpful to say that there is this empowerment of the Spirit to empower us to be a witness for Jesus. And that's available. So what's interesting here is that in the end of John's gospel, Jesus, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. But then here in Acts chapter 1, he says, wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the Spirit. And I think it's interesting, isn't it? Did they not already have the Holy Spirit? Yes. But now there's this empowerment of the Holy Spirit that they are to wait for. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Next slide. And so for me, I heard this phrase and I was put off. I did not believe in a second experience of the Spirit called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I didn't believe in it. And I had all my verses ready and studied, and if I were to speak to someone who did have a different view, I'll have all my verses ready and ready to kind of have a bit of a go there. But my first semester at Bible College, at the Calvary Chapel Bible College that I went to, I kept hearing this phrase, baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it just really, really got to me, really annoyed me. Until I came to this place where I was really humbled about something, and really broken. And I just really felt that I need to re-examine my position on this. So I kind of made this appointment with the Lord, really, to put some time aside from my studies and just to kind of really look at different people that I respected, I felt were teaching the Word, and to look at the Scriptures in a fresh way. So I got to this place, at the Calvary Chapel, just the Rotorua. And I sat there, And I just sort of prayed. I prayed and I just started reading, the Bible. And I saw this white dove appeared at the window and he was kind of knocking on the window. And I thought it was just so bizarre, not to put anything on that. But it was just so interesting to start my time like that. And I kind of looked at this scripture in Acts chapter 1 where, at the end of John's gospel, Jesus breathed on them. And here now they say, wait for the Spirit. There's two things there. In Acts chapter 8, with Philip preaching the gospel, just in Samaria. He preached the gospel. There were demons being cast out, miracles. They received the word of God. They were baptized. There was a lot of joy in the city. And then they sent for Peter and John to pray for them for them to receive the Holy Spirit. And surely they did receive the Holy Spirit in the indwelling sense there. And then you get the sort of the Acts 10. Maybe they've received the whole package all at once, with Cornelius. And then Acts chapter 19, that's different views there. But anyway, you sort of do see maybe they didn't believe in Jesus fully yet. And then, then Paul shared the gospel with them, baptized them in water, laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And they prophesied and spoke in tongues. So you do see that there's sort of the need to lay hands on someone there. So there's a bit of my journey. And so at the end of my semester, I went to this conference at the Raglan. And we had Brian Broderson who was a speaker. And one night he just said, is there anyone here who has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Stand up. And some people stood up. I was like, I stood up. It's a bit I'm kind of a person where I care probably too much people think of me. But I was like, I've been kind of on a journey of this, and I stood up. And people just laid hands on me. And I just felt this energy just go through me. And I felt like I could just run and jump over stuff. That's how I felt. I didn't speak in tongues, but that was my sort of my testimony, with that. So yeah. Next slide, please, Stephen. Filled with the Spirit. And I think it's helpful to look at Peter. And I think the same thing could be done with Paul as well, where Peter received the Spirit at the end of John, Acts chapter 2, verse 4. He was filled with the Spirit. And then he preached the sermon where Jesus was crucified less than 2 months earlier. Where Peter is naturally sort of outward person, but he denied the Lord. What an empowerment here from Peter here. And then in Acts chapter 4 verse 8, he was in this place where in this really meeting with the Sanhedrin, I believe, and he was filled with Spirit and just spoke boldly. And he didn't shy away at all. And then in at the end of Acts chapter 4, where they were threatened not to speak in the name of Jesus anymore, they came together as a body, and they prayed. And this place, and the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with Spirit, and they spoke the word of God in boldness, in the face of where they were threatened not to do that. And I think it's hard for us here in New Zealand to really grasp that, because we can freely share here. But in a place where you were threatened, where Jesus was crucified, people are crucified, and not just Jesus. And man, that's a different aspect. And they kept on sharing the love of Jesus. And, Jesus died for their sins, was buried, and he rose again from the dead. He's alive. He kept on sharing that. And so Ephesians 5 verse 18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. It's a continual tense. Be being filled. And this is a command as well. I think the context is in Ephesians, it's kind of maybe more to do with Christian living. Walk in love. Walk in the light. And it talks about this relationship as a husband and a wife and workers and employers and that sort of stuff, parents and children, to be filled in the Spirit, to walk out the everyday Christian life. But the context that I want to, I think, focus on in the book of Acts has this, focus on the Spirit in the sense of empowering you to be a witness. Doesn't mean that Acts doesn't at all speak about Christian living, but I think that is the emphasis in my reading in the book of Acts, this empowerment to be a witness. And so I've seen it in my life where kind of I have a bit of a stutter. And I wouldn't really, it's not natural for me to be up here, you know, necessarily. But I just kept on sensing that the Lord wanted to use my voice. And I've tried to shy away, and people ask me, I kind of have that, you know, this wrestle, or should I kind of do this? And kind of been on a journey of that. And I don't think I could really do this well unless the Lord has just empowered me. And like, so my goal, you know, in Central Asia is to teach English. And like, man, I'm not an English teacher, but I'm more a roofer. But that's just not a thing. I just can't get a job as a roofer in Central Asia because it's just different way they do roofs, and there's a lot of people who do that sort of stuff. I just won't be able to do it. So I've just tried to be wise and realized that there's a need for native. I'm not fully native English speaking, but I think it kind of counts. And so I'm pursuing this way, and I think that's the thing. When the Lord, He challenges you to do something where it's not natural for you. You know, are we willing to sort of stick to what we know, to what we can, or are we willing to step into things that the Lord is calling us to do, and it might not necessarily be us, to trust that He's going to empower us. He's going to empower us for that. Next slide, please. And they spoke in tongues in Acts chapter 2, verse 4. And I think there's a balance here. I don't want to step on any toes. That's the last thing I want to do is to step on toes and to bring any confusion. But I just think that, where is this? In 1 Corinthians 13, if I speak in the tongues of men and of angels. So some people have done it, say, it's just a human language. But I just don't see that quite in the scripture. And I think what that sort of thing could do, it could really sort of hinder people to really seek, you know, all that God has for them. And I think there's valid points in that camp where people have been pushed to speak in tongues. And this thing where if you don't speak in tongues, you're not filled with the Spirit, or you know, you're not saved. That's really extreme. There's been a push, and there's probably a lot of fake tongues, isn't there? But to go all the way to the other side where people are not open to it at all, I think is also problematic. Where it says the one who's speaking a tongue, it builds up himself. Where that person who spoke to me a month ago says tongues is to preach the gospel. It's not biblical. It's to build up yourself. This is a gift that God has given, you know, the individual to build up himself. Or if you to speak in a church context, probably not on a Sunday morning, but in a smaller gathering, like the draw near services that you guys sort of had when I was here. Just in the right space. If someone interpret that, it's hard to kind of, if you haven't seen it before, it's hard to think how that could be any benefit. But if you've seen it with someone spoken a tongue and someone interpreted that tongue, there's really something about it. It really builds up. And so it's saying like not the whole church to speak in tongues, people come in and think you're crazy. But to sort of say, to forbid tongues is equally unbiblical. And I'm not pushing anything here. I'm just trying to sort of have a balanced view that not all speak in tongues. That's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12 at the end of 1 Corinthians 12. He's, you know, he says, you know, does all speak in tongue? Like the answer is obviously no, in the grammar, as it implies. But to sort of, to not have any speak in tongues, I think that's also a bit of a thing too, isn't it? Because quite often when, in the book of Acts, when someone was filled with Spirit, there was tongues. Not every time. Balance. The balance there. And I've got a real heart for balance. And hopefully I could sort of play a role when we go back to Central Asia to have a small little drop in the bucket of just really promoting a balanced view, to be really open for all that the Spirit has for the church over there. And that's my encouragement for here as well. Speaking to my brother, and he's sort of open but very cautious. You know, he's a pastor in his Afrikaans church in Auckland. And speaking to him, and he says quite often when you go, you speak to people about gifts, and it's all about the gifts and the Spirit. He says, where's the gospel? Where's the gospel? And where's Jesus? And if you look at the sermon in Acts chapter 2, where Peter is saying Jesus ascended to heaven, he received the Spirit, and he poured out the Spirit. So that, you know, just like, you know, so just the coming of the Spirit is evidence that Jesus is risen from the dead. And in this passage, he keeps sort of saying that Jesus died and he rose from the dead. And also, his sermon is rooted in Scripture. And the people mocking and saying these people are drunk with wine. And he refers, this is Joel. This is what Joel said in the last days. I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. And then he quotes Psalm 16 about the resurrection of the Messiah. And then Psalm 110. It's rooted in Scripture. And I don't see why there's a need. I think there's a massive divide of people open to Spirit and people just word. And I think I really love the sort of what's going on here with Shoreline. There's no need to have that division of Spirit and the Word. And so, yeah, I don't think I'm saying anything new, but I'm just sharing a bit of my journey, and hopefully it'll be something that's really encouraging to some here. And my heart really is for you guys just to keep being grounded in the Word. I don't think that's ever going to be a problem. Keep having the gospel being centered, but at the same time, keep being open to the Spirit, because there's no need to have that divide, and to have the Spirit, be open to be empowered by the Spirit, to share the love of Jesus with people. Amen. Last slide. And so I think what's interesting is you see Luke. Luke quite often have the Spirit, just the coming of the Spirit, connected with a group of people. It's not so much of individual sort of having this encounter or experiencing the Spirit on their own in a corner. Quite often is linked with people just being in this, in the body, and is linked with prayer. That's something that Luke emphasizes in the Gospel of Luke, and also in the second volume in Acts. He links prayer with the reception of the Spirit and with being together as a body. So that's my encouragement, really. I'll leave you with this. When there are prayer meetings, attend. When there's draw near services, come with expectation and attend. Play your part. And when you're on the journey, if you feel the Lord has you here in this journey, don't have that journey by yourself. Share with Tucker, share with Doug, share with the other elders, and sort of bring that sort of journey into the light and journey together. And that's really my encouragement. Journey together and pursuing all that God has for you as a body. Amen.